You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome to the In the Round Festival podcast, brought to you by Transmission Roundhouse. The In the Round Festival is a series of special one-off gigs set around a circular stage at the Roundhouse in Camden, creating a truly immersive experience. I'm Erica McCoy. Thanks for joining me. Now in its sixth year, In the Round gets you closer to your favourite artists, treating you to bespoke shows, collaborations and surprises, all making for a unique and special performance. Also, for this year, we're bringing you this podcast and access all areas past to these gigs. You also get an insider's perspective on what it's really like to perform on the legendary stage as we speak to the headliners. In this episode, I'm joined by Hack Baker. Now, Hack Baker, he redefines what it means to be a folk singer in the capital, blending grime and gritty lyrics with great guitar playing. He shares the injustices, the hustle, the heartache, and it's all there to be discovered as he takes to the stage. After a sound check, he found his way down to the Transmission Roundhouse studio just beneath the main space. Hack Baker,
yes.
Welcome to the Roundhouse.
There, what's happening?
It's all good. It feels funny because you are from the other side of London.
Yeah.
I'm from West London and we're presently in North London.
Yeah.
How are you? How's soundcheck?
Soundcheck is good. Most of my band was late. Some of the members are still not here, but, you know, that's how it's got to be.
That's how it is sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. Just got to roll with it.
Tell me a little bit about your early music career. Let's go right back.
Oh, yeah. Actually, just going straight forward.
We're going straight into it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so I used to MC back in the day. I was in Bomb Squad, a crew, back in that Channel U days and Youth Club days and like proper gram days. Days when it wasn't even called gram, it was just something that we did. Yeah, and it wasn't even a big deal back then. You would always know our next man that was on Channel U or our next geezer that was on Channel U. If you made music and you was any good and you could get a little funding or, you know, it was our youth club that helped us get it, you know, because youth clubs were such a pivotal thing back then.
Yeah.
Which is something that doesn't really exist anymore.
It's true. You're saying it and it's like, for some people, they'll be like, youth club? What is a youth club?
Do you know what I mean? But like real youth, that's where we used to go. MC that youth club, one in on the Isle of Doors, one in Bethnal Green, one in Chris Street, one in bloody, we used to go to one in Essex, couple in Essex, Forest Gate, all over the shop. You know what I mean? Mm. And, you know, and they were safe havens as well.
Yeah.
They were safe there, but different times. But yeah, we started there, obviously in the youth clubs. But my first memory of it all was like coming home from school one day and a couple of lads was just on, I was taking a long way. Went to a youth club called Alpha Grove. The lads were like, yeah, come up there. Are they MC? And I was like, what are they on about?
Yeah.
I used to hear my mates talking about, but I weren't too clued up.
At this point, how old are you?
About 11, no, 11,
okay.
12.
Yeah.
And I went to a youth, this place called Alpha Grove, where they used to have, people used to go and MC and that. And the first thing I saw my mate Proof, and I saw Trim, and I saw Dizzy Rascal, and my mate Tyrone, and I can't remember who was mixing. But all up there, MCing, and I was like, what's going on here? And then I realised, oh, this is what all my mates are talking about. This is what's going on. And so I went home, and I just tried to write lyrics that day.
What was it about youth clubs, grime, that kind of stuck with you? Because you could have gone that day and then been like, oh, no, it's not for me. I don't want to experience this anymore. What was it about it?
A couple of things. Like, my mum, double Jamaican, like born in Jamaica, I come here, very strict. It was like, I lived there, like quite a sheltered youth.
Mm.
Didn't really see much. I was like, playing at, a lot of people used to come to my front garden and we'd all chill in my front garden, luckily. Yeah. So my house was at the hub, and then like little things, like me and my brother would play out, like we wasn't allowed out till late, like 6-7 o'clock, mum saying got to be in. So like she'd like tell us, but we'd always have to go to Asda a bit, 2-3 days a week. So we'd run to Asda.
Yeah.
Get all the shopping. I was like, oh mum, I'm so busy in there. Run back.
Yeah.
And then play out with the shopping. And then, but like, as I guess, like when we got to like year seven, like life gets a bit bigger, you know, you go to a big school and then you start finding out what other lads or other trickles are doing at your age, you know what I mean? And that's what was going on. That's what was being introduced to us lot at that age. So, yeah, MCing was the lick, and that's what we just started doing, and we made a little gang. Yeah, they had a little crew. Like,
yeah, be careful how you use that.
Anyway, yeah, made a little crew in that.
Yeah.
Bomb squad. Actually, we didn't even make the crew. It was like...
It probably just came together naturally.
The older boys was called Bomb Squad, but like...
Okay.
They was moving on to like being like Roll Deep and Wild Out Ones and things like that. So there was like... And that was our crew from the end, from Isle of Dogs. So, but that was... It was quite a solid name in like the borough. So they was like, you know what? Use a lot of the new Bomb Squad. So he was like, yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
And then that was that. And then we just ran with it. I mean, took it far for that at that time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We took it far. Smashed China U number one on China U and that. I remember when I used to go down, people used to say to me, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Are you? And what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And sometimes my mate would take the piss and just be playing like B-O-M-B loud on the wing. And I say, hey, a funny one, lad. Like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah, best times.
How does someone make a transition to, I mean, this is the question you probably get all the time, but how do you make that transition from grime into folk or a sound that sounds folky?
Because of life. You know, life gives you lemons, you make lemonade, innit? I've always liked instrumental music. I've always liked music vastly. You know, I was a choir boy for a while, even though I didn't want to be, but it taught me all the tricks. You know, I've always enjoyed things that was musical. And then, like, at that time, like, even when I... Because it happened, like, I hate even just... Not even hate, like, talking about it and stuff. Like it's not like a trophy, but, like, when I was in jail, one of the governors come around and said, there's guitar lessons, does anyone want them? And I was like, yeah, all right, yeah. And my name got picked out of a hat, so then I just started playing. But in my cell, I had, like, Kings of Leon album and other little things that... Like,
what made you feel confident enough to say, yeah, I'll give that a go? Because you could just have sat around and kind of done
me.
Nothing.
Like, that's how I am.
Yeah.
I like to try new things. I don't want to just continue doing the same old things.
Yeah.
And I liked guitar music. I like music. So I was like, yeah, definitely I'm going to give that a whack. Like, I was thinking about that. Like, hit somewhere in my head at some point about playing guitar. I just didn't know how the hell that was going to happen. No, but, like, yeah, like, why not? I'll do what I want. Like, that's what I like. I'll do what I want. I'm here in the Rana doing this show today. It's because I do what I want. You know, when I first started playing guitar, like, people that I know and friends was laughing at me and go, oh, it's nutty yak, innit? It's gone nuts again. And I'm like, quite a character, that's fair. Quite outlandish. I just think he's gone nuts again. And then that's what people were saying. And a couple of my good mates were saying, like, yeah, my man's saying that, and this geezer's saying that, and whatever, watch. And my mates always believe me. They know I'm not an idiot. And then, yeah, that's how it goes, isn't it? You can't be scared. I was just telling my mum that the other day. She's 60, working in a job she don't like. I'm like, mum, you've got heaps and heaps and heaps of vitality. I get it from you. Sort it out. Do something different.
Like,
you can't be afraid.
No.
You know?
I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about it. We don't have to talk about it. What did you go inside for? Well, you've never mentioned
armed robbery.
Armed robbery.
Hmm.
What kind of got you in that? What happened
life
there?
And, like, living a certain thing, like a scale of things. And, you know, like, money starting to run low sometimes. And if you've got an image to keep up and you've got a lifestyle that you don't know anything different run from when you start making money at, like, at young age, 12, 13, with the boys. We don't know how to not have, so you have to have. So you go and do anything at that time, especially when you're that young and you're that fearless. You do what you got to do. And it's not the first time I've been there anyway. It's like, it's just part of, like, growing up. My dad called it the school of all schools. A lot of other countries do, like, you know, what's that word, begins with a C, where you have to go to the jail, conscription, where you have to go to an army. You know, and you learn, and you learn how to, you learn... routine, you learn certain things. Like, there's certain things that jail really teaches you that you will never let go.
my interview was not meant to ever even go in this direction. But what did you learn?
Just to be yourself. That's the key. Because if you don't know how to be yourself, then you will be victimized.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all doom and gloom in there. It's brotherhood in there as well. You make great friends. I've got great friends that I still, you know, hang about with and frequent with to this day. Loads of them, actually. You can remake yourself in there. You can restudy in. You can study in there. You know, you could come out. You can come up with a whole list of skills that will make you a more approachable, employable character. All the things that you learn a lot of things in there, like money management, small things like that. They don't teach you that in school. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing that you can learn and come out with a job. My dad, as I said, my father calls it the school of all schools.
Yeah.
To make sure you learn. There's so much things you can learn, how to get on with people.
I think the thing that a lot of people love about you is that you bring this reality to your music.
Mm.
There's depth to your music. And it just feels like you can... I think it's, you know, ultimately, I think it's music for all classes, but I think it particularly stands out for working class people.
But it's able to be enjoyed by everybody, because what we promote is goodwill and love.
You said something interesting in another interview, and you were like, people want to feel other people's pain. You were talking, it was about class.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, that's an interesting way of seeing it.
Yeah. Rich people want to feel stuff.
Yeah.
Rich people want to feel stuff. They don't know certain pains and certain things they want to go through. And, you know, you can't just generalise all people, middle-class people, as horrible people, because they're not. You know, they've grown up a way different than you. And they probably ain't feel. They don't know what the belly is to grumble. They don't know what it is. They don't even know what it's like to wear the same clothes 3 or 4 days. So they come to London and link people and start wearing jean sizes 2 waists bigger and wearing Air Force Ones, and they want to blend, they want to feel sank, because they probably ain't felt that kind of empathy. And I've met enough middle class people that I've linked, and they feel me. And I tell you what, it was a bunch of middle class people when I first started making music, when I was doing whatever I was doing, and they was like, what are you going to do that? Because I guess they could see, like, and they was older than me, and they could see that, you know, I'm a good person, and I pride myself on that. And I showed them. I actually play guitar and make music. And they was like, a few of them probably be here today, because I still hang about with them sometimes. And they was like, you got to do this. They was the first person, people, apart from my mate Leon and Jermaine, that was saying to me, you got to cut all that shit out and you got to do this. This is what's going to, you know. And that's why I say it's about everybody, because music touches people and conveys emotion, makes... It doesn't belong in class echelons.
Mm, mm-hmm.
It just belongs to the people. So that's what we're here for today, basically.
Well, I was about to move on to it. Nicely done for me, the hack. So we're in the round, at the roundhouse.
Mm.
You've kind of brought on a lineup of people who are totally smashing all the boxes.
Mm.
Like, they wouldn't, you know, if they went to a major label... The major label would traditionally put them in some sort of regular schmegular box. All these people.
Do you want to live in a box? Different. Do you like cardboard boxes? Like bored old four angles boxes? They're shit. Like, they're boring.
No, I like
put me in a heptagon or something. Do you know what I mean? And that's what they do. They put you in boxes, and if you can't tick those boxes in the boxes that they've put you in to allow you to be heard, that they say that they're giving you the chance, then see you later.
Mm.
I know what I look like. And when I open my mouth and start doing what I do, and people are like, what the fuck? Do you know what I mean? I've seen it so many times. I'm bored of it, to be fair. But, and that was just like, you know, people up there that are performing, like Connie.
Connie Constant.
Yeah, Connie Constant. Like, girl raps the wickedest lyrics, fearless. And I know personally that they tried to, like, make her into, like, an R&B singer.
Mm.
That's not her, do you know what I mean? And she left that. She left the deal that she had, and now I'm smashing it more than ever, doing her like as being like a punk princess and whatever. Like, rock and roll, black people invented rock and roll. I don't understand what the fucking confusion is. Elvis Presley ripped every song that he had off black people.
Yeah.
And that's common knowledge these days.
Yeah.
So what the fuck are they still trying to put people in boxes for?
It's so
that's
so
what
strange.
This is about.
Yeah.
Before this even happened, before In The Round was happening, me and my agent Hannah was, we had already gone to a place and really made an agreement with some people in West End where we wanted to do a night and do this night and kick it off. And I was going to get Connie to headline the night anyway. But then when The Round approached us for a gig, we just thought, well, let's do it here.
this space is also like has a history of being radical anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
With all sorts of talks and whatnot going on in the building in the 60s and 70s, and you know, we're in Camden. Mm. And there is an element of punk and ska, which have been influences for you.
Mm.
What is Bricks in the Wall all about?
Bricks in the Wall is, it's like building your own house, isn't it? And allowing people in.
Mm.
So as the alternative left field black artist that I am, and everyone, I just want to name them, Connie Constance, Rachel Chinnariri, Belle Cobain, who's incredible, and Kai Kwasi, are doing, everyone is black and proud to be, you know, and a member of London society, which is a very, very multicultural society, which we pride and enjoy. And I'm very lucky to be a part of, even though it has its, you know, dark places, dark corners. But it's a place where we can be ourselves completely. And I feel like I've done a good job for the past 2 or 3 years of being myself, being very fucking loud. And so I've got managed to be in this position. So I thought, right, I've got this big old place. Let's get some people in here that I love and respect to build the house and then let everybody in.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a place where everyone is safe, but we're building it and we're in the process of building it, hence Bricks in the Wall.
You're the makers of it.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And that's what happens with subcultures. Someone makes this dance and then people come and then people feel part of something. Like the scenes, the punk and the ska scenes that you were talking about. And it always starts with the working class because, you know, we're always just looking for... to just feel like, oh, we don't feel like...
Yeah.
Like, I'm shattered right now.
Well, it's that thing of being able to walk into a space and just knowing that you can be yourself.
Mm.
With no questions asked, no one's judging you. You just walk in and you come as you are. So I like that.
Mm. That's it.
Why are you so keen to make sure that this is a community that you build? Because you could just kind of take your success and run and live a life doing things that big artists do, making music strictly in LA with the best LA producers.
Nah, that's got no soul, all that shit. All that shit's just for like the internet and bollocks. I'm doing like, this is, I have to do this because being from East London and all the people that I've met that's taken me in, I left my house at a very young age, left my house at like 14. I was leaving, getting thrown out of my mum's house because I was just like a bit of a terror. But not in like a horrible way, just like excited by life. I need to be outside. I need to do all these things. I need to make money. And I was taken in by several people. You know, my friends, Greg and his mum, Debbie, Shay and his mum, Lisa, have been huge in my life. Tananier and her mum, Carol, like I could go on. There's more, like loads. And it's like, and then every household I went to, I learned more stuff. I learned more stuff. I learned more stuff. I learned stuff. My mum was very quite bullheaded, which I understand though, because she's Jamaican. They're serious. They know how they know. They're brought up tough and they're brought up well and they're brought up intelligently and they're built up strong. But you know, we're not in Jamaica. We're in East London, you know. So I learned here and I learned there and I was given blessings here and they shared with me here and they shared with me there. So what like I don't even have nothing like. Anything anyway, people like see things on internet or whatever and they think things, but like we're still struggling, like we struggle hard. Like I'm lucky I have people that, because we have community, people, my friends and people that work with, like do things and help me out to make things happen. Like we do, like no one carries my shit. Like I carry everything in, all the boxes of merch and everything I carry, like, you know, I'm hustling.
Yeah.
Like, but I know this life, like I've been jogging my whole life, so like if I'm doing, like, this is nothing. Like, I've been in a much more worse position than this. So this weight on my shoulders is light. And even though, like, I've got a headache and I just don't sleep and I'm tired, but it's whatever. But you have, if you feel yourself strong enough, then you have to. That's the first thing you do is give back. You set yourself up, then you give back. Who do you want to do? Be a loner and enjoy things on your own.
Yeah.
You know, you have to enjoy things with people and to get something back. To make yourself know, you know what, that was good. And it comes like in the figure of eight, when you give out that energy, you give it back. And that's what I'm looking forward for today, just to give me that bit of strength. And then I've got time to do next Tuesday, then I'm just turning off my phone for a few days and then, you know, and just get my, and then to just get myself back.
Yeah.
You have to give back because you got to lead by example.
Yeah. This is something you probably would have only ever learned because of your upbringing? Because there's some people that just, they're on their own. It's like a, they're doing everything by themselves. They want more by themselves. They don't want to give back. And yeah. I think actually it's a mixture of that Jamaican heritage, that East, also Londoner.
The Londoner heritage. And definitely what you just said, I'm ashamed I didn't mention it, like the Jamaican heritage as well, when you go there.
Mm.
Or if you go to a Jamaican person's house, they will feed you until you can't leave.
Yeah.
Until you can't get up.
No, I can't.
Do you know what I mean? More. And that's what we do. Like, we've been putting on parties like Thirsty Thursday. And that Thirsty Thursday, sometimes we've got barbecue.
Yeah, no, I heard about this Thirsty Thursday. I was like, free drinks.
Yeah, free food. Yeah, free food, free cakes.
I love
like,
that.
People come and people that want to play music, like instrument, like artists. You want to play in front of a wicked crowd? Yeah, come here. You play it. Like, Thirsty Thursday, we're going to bring that back. I don't think that's done. It's only because of the COVID and shit.
Yeah.
But, this is what we do. Like,
yeah.
We're from East End. Like, we're different.
Mm.
We love First Men.
East Londoners are different in many ways.
Yeah, different. Very different. Big up the West London crew.
But also, do you know, I feel like South East London and East London, there's a similarity.
Similarity, yeah, definitely. That whole thing, yeah, like Bermondsey.
Yeah.
All that
in
way.
Their approach to life, but also, yeah, that sort of given nature.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no, but that's just how we are.
Yeah. It's what London kind of does to people, I guess. What does it mean to be performing here at the Roundhouse?
Remember, like, I came here to support Reader Mental a couple of years ago, and now that now we're doing it ourselves. You know, I think we're nearly sold out the gaff at this time. I've never sold a ticket for more than a tenner, so like this is again, it's just it makes me feel good to know that we can get like we've sold like 1,600 tickets. Probably sold more today. I guess this is Ram, so we're going for a sellout by the time I'm on stage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Can't even. When I walked in and I was like, right, this is me. Like, I performed in bigger places, but it's always like supporting someone. No one knows who the fuck I am.
Yeah.
This is for me, that, do you know what I mean? And my people for something that I believe in. I don't need to take, I just, it feels amazing.
How are you going to evolve next? Because you kind of moved from grime. Now you're in G-folk.
Yeah.
What else have you got? What other skills have you got? I'm sure there's skills that you've got that you don't share with people.
Even like music, like I've got loads of different music. This is the ones like I'm just not signed on none of those things. I'm just like, and I really want people to hear like the 360 vision that we've got with the music that I make. Like it's not just that as well. Like this year you're going to hear like so much different things from me as well. Like we're writing scripts, we're writing films, we're at the moment, like we're doing loads of stuff, man. I don't need to talk about them. It's action speaks, innit? So people are here when the right time is.
It's just because I feel it. Like if you've transformed from grime into folk, two different categories, that there's definitely crossover in terms of
storytelling and so on. And
storytelling
so forth.
And like tapping into reality.
Yep.
But I was just like, there must be other things that Hack Baker's working on.
And like, yeah, definitely films and visual stuff you're going to see from us. Like we're trying to make our own beer at the moment as well.
That's cool.
Oh, community aspects. You're going to see us doing a lot of stuff in the community in England, not in just London, in England. We've got big plans because there's no one should know. Like, no one gives a fuck about the working person from the estate anymore.
No.
Before, they literally don't give a fuck. They just want people to scat and kill itself. They don't care.
Yeah.
They get paid if one goes to prison, they get 30 grand per prisoner. They don't give a shit. Lovely. Get them in there. It takes up, you know... I know those fucking years that a couple of years I did last time didn't cost them 60 grand. That cost them probably about 9 grand.
Mm.
You know, so you know we've got a lot of works in the pipeline to try and do what we can to, you know, because people cared about us. My mate's dad and their people and their cousins and that were in the youth clubs caring about us. You know, helping, trying to set us, and we have that fire. But the young people have that, don't have that. Community fire, because they weren't taught it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we've got a lot to do to bring that back.
I'm looking forward to all.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
No, thank you for having us, man.
I could honestly talk to you for, people say this all the time, I could talk to you for a long time. I feel like I could actually sit down and talk to you, because I feel like there's so much that we probably cross over in life and like.
Well, next time I'm saying, you're going to be here today?
Yeah, I'm going to be here today.
You know, there's a party after, whatever. Yeah. Chat.
Yeah.
Thanks, Erica. Cool.
Yeah, thank
Easy
you.
Easy darling. Easy! There you go!
That was an incredible chat with Hack Baker. I mean, I kind of want to be his friend. I feel like there's so much that we could connect on. I want to move to Jamaica. I want to build a community of great people who are just, I mean, Thirsty Thursdays. Apparently it's coming back. Anyway, thank you so much to Hack Baker for joining us on this episode of the In The Round podcast. For more information on the festival, go to roundhouse.org.uk and search In The Round. Thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.